Hello, this is Father Schnudemann, so welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliate regions. And with me I have...
Richard.
And I have...
Amanda.
Yeah, today we are focusing on the sixth Sunday of Lent. And today's program is titled Baptismal Sunday 2017 Special. So what is Baptismal Sunday? Do you know that all the churches throughout the whole world celebrate tomorrow, Baptismal Sunday, 1 week before Palm Sunday? So what is so special about Baptismal Sunday? And few segments we'll be focused on today. The first one is, I was blind, now I see. What it's like to be blind, then all of a sudden you can see. Wow, we've got a reenactment from Jesus of Nazareth. Secondly, from darkness come light. What is meant by from darkness come light? And the third segment that I'll be focusing on, faith, the power of sight. What is meant by faith, the power of sight? One needs to have faith in order to see, and hope is also is aspect of believing and not actually seeing, but believing. So where's faith? Where's hope? Well, all of this goes into picture. But after a short break, we shall have a piece of music, go straight into the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, from verse 1 to verse 41.
To let me
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Shnuda Mansell. Now we're ready for Gospel Reflection. Turn into the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9, and be reading from verse 1 to verse 41. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was born blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, and the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes open? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again. Now he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he will be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So again they called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered, said to them, Why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do nothing. The answer said to him, You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said to him, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. Glory be God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, the one God, now and forevermore. Amen. This is the gospel of Baptismal Sunday. The gospel, the man was born blind. Jesus anointed him and told him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man, his eyes were opened. When Jesus touches the eyes of the heart, my eyes, I will be able to see the glory of God in all that I do, in all that I see. I'll see the wonderful creation of God has created for me. I'll see his masterwork. I'll see his handcraft in my life and even around me. Jesus is Lord and God, Lord of Lords. He is the God of miracles. Only if we allow God to touch our lives, touch our eyes, touch our inner senses, touch our inner heart, inner eyes, inner ears, we'll be able to hear and see, just like this man was able to see because he allowed Jesus to touch his eyes. Richard.
Yeah, Father.
What do you reckon?
Well, Father, I totally agree with what you said. And I think in today's society, it's a bit difficult to see for the blind man to see. It's a bit difficult with everything that's going on, and especially if you're having a tough time. It's a matter of, yes, the faith, but you can't just fall into darkness. You can't let yourself fall into darkness like that. Have faith, but believe in yourself as well. Believe that there's a better day out there, that there's a better outcome, and that God is looking out for you. And when you truly believe that, that's your faith. That's your faith, believing that God is there for you, that he's carrying you no matter what hardship is coming your way. And that's my point of view about this whole, because when you're blind, you just, all you see is the darkness. But if you have a smither of hope, then the light will come through.
Fabulous. Amanda, what are your thoughts on this?
I just think it's incredible how Jesus could transform someone's life like that, and how it's not just seeing your faith, it's feeling it and experiencing it in everyday life. And it's
something that's unbelievable. I'm just reflecting what Richard said and what you've said. You know, you and I, because we have eyes, we can't imagine what it's like to live in darkness, and all of a sudden the eyes opened, and I'm able to see. And here it shows you the wonderful miracle that Jesus is God. He is the creator of the eyes. He's the creator of us. And he's able to mix clay and say, and heal it. Go and wash. And he opened his eyes. He shows that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, God of Gods, the creator of us, creator of you and me. And when I allow Jesus to touch my eyes, touch my life, and the darkness is there, it will, yeah, 1 o'clock, gone away. We have a reenactment from Jesus of Nazareth. And it's a beautiful scene, but the audio is unbelievable. It's real. Now, enjoy it, and then we'll be talking after this segment on I Was Blind, Now I See.
Help! I was born blind. Please, help for the poor blind man. Please.
Master, that man was born blind. He's accepted his life the way it is. Why then change it?
He lives in darkness. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Oh, don't leave my eyes alone. I don't want you to touch them. No, don't touch my eyes. No, ah, you are hurting me. They're burning. What have you done to them? What have you put on them?
Go and wash his eyes.
Come on, let's take him to the doctor. Come on.
Yes. Give him a good wash.
He hasn't touched water all his life. Carry him in.
Give him a good wash.
I can see. I am not blind anymore. I can see you. And you. I can see. Brothers. Brothers. I can see everything. Now I know what it means to see.
It's a miracle, I tell you, it's a miracle.
I can see the world. My eyes open.
You can see. I tell you,
brothers, I can see all of you. All of you.
What have you got to say? What have you got to say about the man who healed you?
I only know one thing. I was blind. I was blind before. And now, I can see.
Tell me. Jesus, the cure the blind.
Cure the... Let me see. Where is it?
Master. I can see. I can see. Who is he, Master, that I may believe in him?
You're seeing him. It is he that is speaking to you.
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Father Shnuda Mansell, and that was taken from Jesus of Nazareth. And
Lord,
truly, it's an expression on how Jesus healed the man that was born blind. Obviously, you could see some reenactment. Reenactment, obviously, a director's version of what may have happened. But it shows you very clearly a man who could not see, and all of a sudden that Jesus took some clay and spat on it, made clay from it, and anointed the eyes and rubbed it very firmly and hard and told him, go and wash. Now, as we said in our previous segment, now the aspect of him putting clay in his eyes, it gave indication Jesus as the Creator, Jesus as the Son of God. In this movie clip, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? In the Gospel of John, it talks about, do you believe in the Son of God? And here I want to point. The man asked Jesus, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus told him, it is I who is speaking, and it is he whom you've seen. And then I believe and worship, knew that and worshipped him. Now, I have a young man called Tony. Tony has gave me a story off air about a man born blind. Now, Tony, tell me about this man that was born blind.
This man that was born blind, he was he used to sit in a shop I used to do deliveries to when I used to help an old friend of mine out. He used to just sit there and smile and always used to sing and very pleasant. And he never knew my name up until like a couple of months. He just used to sit there and he'd know I'm coming. He'd move out of the way and all. He'd know me from my step. It was very strange.
He used to know you by your step?
Yeah, yeah.
It was
unbelievable. And then a couple of months in, I was obviously shy, you know, being a delivery guy. He questioned, what's your name? And then we spoke, and he was an Orthodox guy. He was Lebanese. He was the most happiest. I didn't even know he was blind. He's a very happy man.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me the story, how he was born blind, and how he...
So he was born blind?
Yeah, yeah. No sight whatsoever.
Okay.
And his older brother had brought him to Australia about 20 years ago, trying to find him, you know, surgeons, just anything so he could see, even if he had to wear thick glasses or anything. And he ended up going to a really, really, you know, important surgeon or whatever, some specialist. And the specialist actually said to his brother, you'd be crazy to restore this man's sight. I've never met a happier person that can actually see. People that see aren't this happy. And if you sit with him, he can actually describe you. Like, I remember I used to sit and talk to him, and he's back then I used to be a bit musclier and stuff. And he used to, you know, grab my stature, and he'd say, he's such a big, strong man. And he used to rub my beard, and he's like, I love your beard. And he's like, you got dark hair. And I'm like, how do you? What's going on? But and one thing I loved about him the most was if you mention the word Jesus Christ, lights with joy. And the most beautiful thing about him is when you speak to him, especially biblical, he remembers the verse, the name, the chapter, the everything. Word for he's very gifted. And you could tell, like, he switches on when he wants to listen to things and he switches off when he doesn't want to listen to things. I remember they were arguing, my boss at the time and the customer, and he just starts singing. Just randomly out of nothing, but talk about something he loves and he knows, mate, he sings, he glows. That's
a wonderful story, Tony. And that tells us that God graces us with grace when we lose a senses. In this case, if we lose eyes, God graces us with powerful ears and sensation, knowing through. Jack, what are your thoughts on this, Jack?
Yes, Father. I too have a friend who's, I believe, born blind. And this is very similar to what Tony was speaking about. And with this gentleman, as soon as I go to say hello, he knows my name. And I find him full of joy.
Who doesn't know your name, Jack? I love you, Jack.
Thank you, Father. Yes. So this man, his name is Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny, yes.
I love it.
And he's always full of joy, and he's very gifted also. And I can feel when he's talking to me as if he could see me, and he's switched on and... So it's incredible. I too believe that the Lord Jesus truly blesses these people with numerous gifts. And God gives them that peace and love and joy. It's absolutely incredible. And they do have that strong sense of knowing who they're talking to.
So I guess
it's incredible.
It comes to our understanding. I was blind, now I can see. So, but from both your stories, it tells me very clearly that Jesus, Creator, God Creator, can do wonderful, marvelous miracles. That's what Jesus said very clearly. Because you say you can see, then you are blind. But because you say that you are unable to see blind, then you can see, because I will give you that gift to see. Richard.
Yeah, Father. I think that we are, well, as we are talking about it, I think that we're talking about blindness too literal, too like actually blind. Sometimes blindness is
Mind you, the two stories are two in total two different people.
Mm.
And you know, off air, they said one's called Johnny, other one's called Johnny. So unbelievable. So not all Johnnies are blind.
Yeah, no, just so that everyone knows, it's actually two different Johnnies that are both blind, but both are very spirited and both very happy with life.
Absolutely.
And I'm quite jealous of them. But yeah, I wish my name was Johnny. What I'm talking about is that sometimes blindness is people that are just seeing darkness around them, darkness around everything that they do in their life, whether it's work, whether it's relationships, they're just not happy in their life. And sometimes that darkness creeps up on you, and that speck of light, you sometimes miss it. You'll be looking around for it, but you sometimes miss it.
But what is it? I know that I respect what you said about, we talk about literary, but these were true stories, contemporary stories.
Yeah.
What makes that happiness from within that I'm able to see goodness in others?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what I'm trying to get to, actually. With when, no matter what you're going through, there's always going to be that speck of light. And that speck of light is the happiness inside you. It's the faith inside of you. It's the hope that's inside of you, to actually, that you know that God is going to pull you out. Amen. Even though that everything around you may seem dark, it's that Amen. Speck of light is your hope. And that would never go out, because God never leaves you.
Can you, just like a lifesaver, find, you know, grabbing someone before they drown, just pick them out of the water.
Yeah.
And then straight onto the raft.
Yep, absolutely.
God's hand, mighty hand, picks me up from this mirror of darkness into life of light.
Absolutely. And just speaking of that analogy, because when you're, I don't know if anyone has experienced drowning, I have, and it feels like an eternity when you're about to go under. So, and that's what it might feel like. It might feel like an eternity before God actually comes and grabs you. When you're alone, it wasn't that long. It was just a minute. But for you, it feels like an eternity, because you're going through it. So you might be going through that. But yeah, that's my view.
And on that note, we shall have a short break and come back and talk about From Darkness Come Light. Now enjoy a piece of this wonderful piece of music, because it gives us expression of the power of prayer, and the Father listens to us in everything that we
do. Somebody who knows you, Lord, but hasn't been seeing you in the right view lately. Let me out. Father, I'm praying for a friend. He and I are pretty close. And out of all my friends, for this one I'm concerned the most. He say he reading daily, but he ain't really learning. He been in church, but say that he ain't moved by any sermon. His face weak, he ain't prayed in a week. He wake up and just weep with his face in a sink. Lord, you gotta help my man.
I'm praying for him daily. He ain't seeing, but it just seems as if he going crazy. He say he feeling trapped, can't even hit up the mall, cause every lady's half-dressed, tempting him to lust and fall. He keep the TV off, videos just make him feel that he ain't really nothing without money, girls, and shiny wheels. The other day he told me that he felt less a man cause he ain't have a 5-year plan or a piece of land. And man, it's crazy cause his family thinks so much of him. Plus he got a godly wife who always show a love for him. But he's struggling, even though he talked to me, I tell him what to do, but he don't listen when he ought to be. I'm scared for him cause there's people that look up to him. He got some younger siblings who've been changed by what he's done for them. But is it done for him? Lord, don't let it be. If he don't wanna talk to you, then Father, hear from me. Is it done for him? Condition is worsening since we was last conversing. I'm with him now, he ain't doing well, but this I'm certain. He say he trying to trust you, doesn't want to disgust you, but he was in the midst of sinners and did not discuss you. And just today his anxiety's got the best of him. He knows Christ but for hours refused to rest in him. He's not the best of men, but Lord, I know he really loves you, and I can't understand why lately he's not thinking of you. People trust this dude, you can crush this dude. Father, he needs more of you, I pray you touch this dude. What can I say to him? I'm determined to pray for him. Father, empty and break him, I pray you'll just have your way with him. Cause there's a change in him, and the effects are strong. I pray you'll open up his heart before the next song. And when he gets home, I pray you'll open up the 66 book love letter you wrote and soak it up. Cause he ain't hearing you, and he ain't feeling me. And God, I know it's killing you, because it's killing me. And matter of fact, there's something else he's concealing, see. The person that I've been praying about is really me.
Welcome back to Cop the Voice Radio. This is Father Schneider Manson. With me I have...
Jack.
And I have also...
Tony.
Yeah, that's a wonderful piece of music, praying for you. And as I was listening to when we were off air, listening to a piece of music, very clearly how a young man has a car accident and the man's praying for him. And it gives it also proof. Many times I've gone into hospital, people in coma. Or lights are out, meaning they're not with us, but you know they're in life support machine, and really tells us from darkness come light. And many times we hear the stories, and they're in on a life support machine, and said, "Yeah, I saw someone coming through," and obviously it shows you the power of God, meaning from darkness come light. Now, what is meant by from darkness come light? Even early in the morning, what do we do? And before the sun comes up, pitch darkness. And all of a sudden, the sun comes out from nowhere. It's an awesome sight. If those who've been seeing the sun come out on the beach, you'll see all of a sudden the sun comes from nowhere, comes up from the horizon. It's unbelievable stuff. Jack, what do you reckon?
Yes, Father. It has many meanings in a way, because you can take it for your own benefit in a way that's personal. For instance, when we say we go from darkness to light, the way I can see it is that if I've been living in sin and making mistakes and on the wayside, obviously, I'm in darkness, but when I come to Jesus and repent and ask for forgiveness, I can make a change of the direction I was following, and therefore I'll go from darkness to light, because the Lord Jesus is the giver of all goodness. He's a giver of life. And He gives us, all things. So we can live and prosper and succeed. Mm. And without him, obviously, we can't achieve anything because he's the source of life. He's the creator.
And that reminds us one thing, that he's just said, I am the light of the world.
That's true.
And if he's the light of the world, we don't live in darkness. But the moment that he is not in our life, there is darkness. And obviously, that's the reason why the two stories that you gave on a previous segment about Johnny, unbelievable, the name is Johnny, that both were blind. But they had life in them. They saw light. Obviously, there was beautiful lightness shining. So from darkness comes life. Because Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In heaven, there is no sun because Jesus is the light.
That shines true.
Powerfully, much more brighter than the sun.
Of course.
Tony.
I find darkness is normally something that presses over the soul and the mind and a lot of things. Also, by pressing over you, there's only one true light that man needs, and that's hope. And there's only one person who died on the cross for that, and he's...
And obviously, his name is Jesus. Obviously, there's only one person that died on the cross. But I want to sort of bounce in on I didn't mean to be cutting you short, Tony.
That's fine.
That the aspect here is that from darkness come light. And you talked about, you know, you're alerting about some elements of life in troubles, pressures of life, marriage breakdown, loss of work, problems with children, problem at work. So all of this gives us great darkness and clouds, and as Jack called clouds with me, that, you know, all of this black, like pitch black of you know, the heavens, thick rains kind of come down and then pours. When it rains, it pours down. This is the darkness that sometimes we are faced in life. But after the clouds go, the sun appears.
He sure does appear.
You know, absolutely. So it appears. Why does God give us this wonderful expression for us? To us to experience this in life. We experience it, for example, if it's school, if it's a study program or a book we're trying to read or something they're trying to, you know, do a new school. After a while, it's pitch black, but the moment I realize the secret becomes so, so simple in doing every little activity or understanding the most complex matters as the most simplest of all. Why is that, Jack?
Well, God loves us, so we do go through hard times and tribulations, and obviously our faith is tested, yet God doesn't leave us. He actually carries us in those hard times, and obviously, you know, God will never leave us, and that's his promise. Before the Lord Jesus said, I have carved you on the palm of my hand, and he'll be with us the whole journey. It's just a matter of us concentrating on him and focusing on our relationship in prayer and fasting and reading the word of Christ. And often what occurs is that when we tend to focus on other things which are worldly, in like, for instance, with our work or with our, you know, our image or wealth or whatever it is, that's when God is concerned about our well-being and spirituality. And often we'll go through problems later and then we'll come back to God, and it'll be a lesson for us that we shouldn't pay so much attention to worldly things. But we should remember the Lord Jesus in everything we do, and that we serve him and serve others. So that's what God requires.
Thank you,
of us
Jack.
All.
Tony?
Something short. I've always kept in the back of my mind when I go through a tough time. It always you know, we live on earth, and on earth there's plenty of mountains. So I take a mountain like the trial and tribulation and sin. And
yeah, we've got lots of mountains, yeah, down here.
Plenty of mountains.
Yeah, go on.
I guess, you know, instead of looking directly at the mountain, a very wise man taught me, always look at the one who made that mountain up in the heavens. So you never look directly at it, but you always keep your head up. No matter what happens, he always gets you through.
It's a wonderful piece of analogy that you gave about the mountains. Look at the one that created through. We chose, look at the one that created darkness, because from darkness comes light. And on that note, we shall have a short break and come back and talk about faith, the power of sight.
Stand on mountains. You raise me up to to more than I can.
Welcome back to Coptive Voice Radio. This is Father Stephen Mansell, and with me I have
Jack,
and I have with me
Tony.
Yeah, this segment we're talking about faith, the power of sight. What is meant by faith, the power of sight? And I guess sight is actually seeing. But when we read the Epistle of the Hebrews, chapter 11, it gives us a wonderful expression of another thing. Another thing that is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How does this mix together, Tony?
I find it mixes together pretty well. If you look in Ephesians 6, 11 all the way to 16, where St. Paul says, you know, put the helmet of salvation, put on, you know, the chest plates of faith and the armor and all the armors of God, godly armors, not manly armors. Manly armor is something you see. And if you want to relate to that very beautifully, if you go back to King David, when he first goes to see Goliath, and he was only a young lad, and they threw manly armor on him, and then he said, I can't move in this, so he took it off. What does King David go do? He goes and picks up five smooth stones. So those five smooth stones, why? There's only one Goliath. But his confidence in the Lord and the faith he had in the Lord of hosts is what, he only used one stone for Goliath, but he had the other four waiting for Goliath's big brothers, because Goliath had four brothers, and he was the fifth himself. I think that's personally what I think. That's what I think faith without seeing, or faith without wearing, you know, the armors of the world. We wear the armors of Christ.
You put it nicely together, Tony. So if we were to look at faith, the power of sight. Sight is, you know, the inner eyes. That I believe that because the Bible tells me, do this and it will happen. So actually, believing to walk with God, God walking with you, and you walking with God in every step of life. Mind you, life is very short. And even people say, oh, life is long. Actually, that's a deception itself.
Of course, of course.
Life is extremely short.
Mm. When you actually realize how fast life tracks up or catches up to you, or whatever it is that people say, I find you then realize it's short when you after you've had your children and you've settled down, then you look back and it goes fast. But it's how you spend your life. It's that time, where your main concentration was. Is it on the one who gave you your life, or is it on, you know, where you're dwelling, where you're living, what's around you?
And that is where it comes, faith as the power of sight. Having that foresight to believe that God is with me in every step of my life.
Always.
And having said that, we're able to see things that we cannot see, because it is by faith we're actually able to see that, believing. And this is a part here. The aspect of believing is the power of sight that we cannot see something, because I believe God will be with me and will support me and carry me. Jack.
Yes, Father. It's always a challenge. But as you've said, Father, as well as Tony, is that we need to believe from our hearts, and therefore we will see the truth and the work of God. So meaning, if we're going through some hard times, with us returning to the Lord and praying and fasting and reading the Word of God, God will help us see the light after the tribulation has passed. And I remember my uncle always said this, that with every tribulation that one experiences, there's always a blessing, and that is the light. So therefore, we need to ask God to strengthen our faith when we are weak, and God will give us signs and show us wonders, because He loves us and He cares for us. And even through a difficult test, we will succeed and overcome the tribulation with a great blessing.
And on that note, we're now ready for the Desert Fathers. And today we'll be reading from the Desert Fathers, Sayings of the Early Christian Monks. And today's reader is Tony. And Tony will be reading on sober living.
Chapter 38. One hermit visited another hermit and said during their conversation, "I am dead to the world." The other said, "Don't be so confident until you have actually died. You may say about yourself that you are dead, but Satan is not dead." Chapter 39. A hermit said, "A monk ought to examine himself every day, morning and evening, to check how far he has kept the Lord's will. He ought to be leading a penance life all his days. That was the way of Arsenius lived." Chapter 40. A hermit said, "If you lose gold or silver, you can find something as good as you lost. But the man who loses time can never make up what he has lost." Chapter 41. A hermit said, "Before soldiers or hunters start on expeditions, they do not consider whether some will be wounded while others will be unhurt. Each one fights for himself alone. That is how the monk should be." Chapter 42. A hermit said, "No one can harm the man at the emperor's side. Satan cannot harm us if we keep ourselves close to God, as it is written, 'Draw nigh to me, and I shall draw nigh unto you.'" Zechariah 1:3. "But because we are so often puffed up with pride, it is easy for the enemy to snatch away our wretched soul to carnal passion and disgrace." Chapter 43. A brother said to a hermit, "I don't find any disturbance in my heart." The hermit said, "You are like a door swinging open. Anyone who likes can go inside and come out again, and you don't notice what is happening. If you had a door that was shut, you wouldn't let it wicked thoughts come in, and then you would see them standing outside the door fighting against you." Chapter 44. They said of a hermit that his thoughts suggested to him to rest today, "Do penance tomorrow." He contradicted the thoughts, saying, "No, I do penance today, and tomorrow the Lord's will be done." Chapter 45. A hermit said, "Unless the inner self lives soberly, the outer self is beyond control." Chapter 46. A hermit said, "Satan has three powers, which lead to all the sins. The first is the forgetfulness, the second is negligence, the third selfish desire. If forgetfulness comes, it causes negligence. Negligence is the mother of selfish desire, and by selfish desire we fall. If the mind is serious, it repels forgetfulness. Negligence does not come. Selfish desires finds no entry. And so with the help of Christ, we shall never fall." Chapter 47. The hermit said, "Take care to be silent. Empty your mind. Attain to your meditation in the fear of God. Whether you are resting or at work, if you do this, you will not fear the attacks of the demons." Chapter 48. A hermit said to a brother, "The devil is like a hostile neighbor, and you like a whore, a house. The enemy continually throws all the dirt that he finds into your house. It is your business to throw out whatever he throws in. If you neglect to do this, your house will be so full of mud that you will not be able to get inside. From the moment he begins to throw it in, put it out again, bit by bit, and so with Christ's help, your house will remain clean."
And now we're ready for Did You Know? Did you know that Jesus is the light of the world.
Did you know Jesus is the truth?
Did you know that Christ restored sight to the man that was born blind?
Did you know that the man who was born blind was unbelievably, marvelously happy?
Did you know Jesus Christ never asked him if he wanted to be healed? He just did it.
Did you know that the Lord Jesus performed thousands of miracles and he still does to this very moment?
Do you know that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life?
Did you know Jesus is the resurrection and life?
Did you know that the man whose eyes were opened believed and worshipped Christ?
Did you know that Jesus is the Son of God?
Did you know Jesus was there in the beginning?
Did you know that the Lord Jesus is the source of all goodness?
Did you know that Jesus says, "Let there be light," and there was light?
Did you know Jesus helps you bear your cross day in and day out?
And did you know that you've been listening to Coptic Voice Radio, a program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliated regions, and proudly sponsored by the Coptic Media Association Sydney. If you wish to write to us, you can do so at CopticVoiceRadio@gmail.com, or you can private message us on Facebook. You'll find us at facebook.com/Coptic Voice Radio. You can also download our podcast so that you can keep up to date and also listen to our previous shows. You'll find it at the podcast app for Apple and iPhone devices, the podcast app for BlackBerry devices, and an app called Stitcher for Android devices.
And now it's time to say goodbye. We hope that you enjoyed today's program titled Baptismal Sunday Special 2017. And now it's time for saying goodbye. Have a GW, a great weekend. And when Monday comes, GW stands for
Great Week.
Love ya. And Jack,
and may God bless you in these holy days of Lent.
Absolutely. And we're going towards the tail of Lent. I'll see you next week. The Lord bless you. Bye.
May the love of God, the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.